Oh, fuck.
Hello, everybody. It's Orkun here. We are spicing things up a bit. So welcome to Berlin Flowing. I will be hosting this episode and I have a very special guest here who you might know, Rawat.
And
hi, Rawat. So we said that now maybe it's the time to just change the role, spice things up. So basically, I will be hosting this episode and we will learn more about Rawat's experience. And I hope you all are excited as much as I am. So Rawat, welcome to your own podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for welcoming. Great selection and guests.
You know that I always go for the top of the top, creme de la creme.
Thank you, sir.
So nice to have you here. And Thank you. This is the first time that I'm hosting a podcast. And I'm also excited to see how this goes. So it's a learning experience for me as well. So let's go. So we will be starting with your favorite question. For this podcast, at least, like the starting question. What have you learned about yourself recently?
It's very different to be on the other side of things.
Yeah, it's very different. That's fine. Like, take your time, think about the recent learnings. And I know that you're a guy that will learn actually quite a lot of things on the go. But what was that thing that you could say that like, okay, it's actually nice to share, or I should share that with people so they can maybe relate?
Okay. A bunch of thoughts came to my mind. I think we just spoke about it like a few minutes earlier, which was this like purpose of life. What is the purpose of life? And it was mostly, so I read in this book, it's called I May Be Wrong. It's by a monk. It's a forest monk, like a like a forest monk from, I forgot where.
A monk,
from Thailand. Yeah, of course, Thailand. Yeah, a forest monk from Thailand. He was a monk for 17 years, and he said, the purpose of life is to find your gift that was given to you, and then give it to others. And I heard that sentence, and he just like said it like literally in like one sentence, and then moved to the next topic.
Okay.
And for me, I was like mind blown how something so fundamental and core is just mentioned in one sentence. Well, actually, like people write books about it, right? And then he just said it in one sentence, and for him, it was kind of like a given. Like I don't even need to think about this. It's like the sky is blue, and I'm moving to the next topic. So this was kind of like quite interesting the way he just threw it in, like regardless of the content, which is still very heavy. And that made me think a bit about it, that like as I grew up, I was always thinking about what to achieve and how to achieve things rather than what I want to give away and what was given to me that I want to give away. And then I took like a few minutes to think about it a bit and try to find that like in the last few years, I shifted kind of in this role to find a bit what I'm like, what I'm good at and what flows in me and with me and towards me, and then try to also route it to others. And I think we talked about this in the human design. When you did my human design, you said, I cannot tell people what to do. I can only answer when they ask.
Yeah. So you are a generator, so you need to respond on the things. So then there's not really this unsolicited life advice that you shouldn't be giving that.
Yeah. And that kind of like hit a bit kind of like in that direction, that like that kind of flows into me a bit. And then I started thinking a bit like, how can I give more of that without shoving my face into people saying, hey, do you want free advice? Click here. And yeah, and then I just like sat down with it a bit. That was actually this morning, today, on my way to work.
Do I understand you correctly? So basically you met the work of this guy, the first monk, you said, right, from Thailand. And what he was saying, that you need to discover what is there with you, and then you need to pass it to other people. You need to give it to others.
Yes, discover what is given to you by God, or whatever.
Whatever is your super gift, yes, however you name it.
Or none of them, if you don't believe in it, whatever is given within you. And then give it to others.
Yeah. And then now you're actually figuring that out, or like you reflected on that this morning to find out like how to proceed in that.
I would say how to be more aware. Because like I think there's a few things that come naturally to me, which is kind of like giving people space, giving people like a bit of peace. People at least tell me usually I sound grounded. But
no, I think I see where that's coming from, because like your tone of voice and how you speak and then how you approach things is a very calm element to it, and so you can be grounded. Like, who is grounded? Like, we all have our own ups and downs, obviously. But I see where the people are coming from.
Yeah, and based on that, then kind of like I was thinking, like, okay, how can I make this one at scale? And second, how can I also get feedback about it? Like, hey, how can I be intentional and get feedback about it to even make it safer space and and give people the feeling of the illusion of grounding, because they're grounded. Otherwise, they wouldn't recognize what grounding is, right? If I tell you, if I give you a new tea, tell you, hey, this is shakalaka vaka tea, like, you're not gonna know if it's that or it's a mint tea, right? Because you never experienced it before. But the fact that they know it's grounding, then it means that they have experienced it before. And I'm just a kind reminder for that. And I'll think a bit about it, like, how can I keep
this could be also, like, I mean, one lane, right? So like, when you're figuring out what is that gift that is given to you, giving people space is one thing, but what comes then?
Exactly, right? And I don't know if that's the gift or that's kind of like the pre-gift or the post-gift or whatever it is.
Could be a starter.
Exactly, yes. And it's, I think also, like, for me at least, what I learned recently, that it's not my job to worry about the gift itself. My job is to just put the work. And this comes from the CAP session we had. Thank you, Hema, for sponsoring my CAP sessions. For people asking about CAP, we're not going to dive into this in this episode. Maybe in a future episode, but it's mostly, let's call it, a heavy meditation and energy channeling session.
It also stands for Kundalini Activation Process. So I think it calls for another episode, because you put me in that as well, be not knowing so much about it, but it was definitely an experience to remember. All right, that sounds great. But what are you planning to do, like, to discover this further? Because you said this could be starters or maybe dessert, maybe the main course, who knows? How are you planning to proceed with finding your own gift?
I'm going to sit with it.
You want to sit with it, okay.
I sit with it and I keep kind of like my work about just like learning new things, trying new things, surrounding myself by people who want to try new things, like the CAP session, and keep discovering things until... I don't think it's a destination by itself to know what is your gift. I think as long as you're giving, what is your true gift will be realized along the way and maybe even without you noticing. And I think that's maybe one of the, maybe the next objectives in life or the goal of being alive, is that kind of like you give and you keep giving until you realize you're not giving. And maybe there's something to it. I don't know, but I'm going to discover it along the way.
I love that for you. And maybe one last question regarding that. I'm curious now, like, what could be the other areas that you could, for example, extend this to? Not actively doing something further with it. You want to sit with it. But what are the other circles, groups where you can sit with it further, let's say?
So, like, this topic has been coming a bit to my mind recently about having kind of like a small gathering, weekly or monthly or whatnot, where people just come and then just talk about topics. So maybe we can have a small microphone also, just people circle it and people can share without receiving advice. My, like, also one of the reasons I started this podcast, that I believe that we're all going through similar emotions and feelings through different phases of life, and by sharing, like, the most difficult part about experiencing an intense emotion is feeling lonely. So, for example, I can be the super happy person in the world at this moment because, I don't know, I got the job I wanted or got the car I wanted or whatnot. And I can feel super lonely because I cannot share it with someone else who can experience similar intensity of an emotion. And same on the more difficult emotions like sadness. I don't know, I lost my cat or lost my job or I lost someone I love or I got kicked out of my house or my favorite tea got spilled over. You know, anything that triggers this intense emotion, the difficult part is thinking that we are alone and we cannot share it with others. And at that moment where the emotion is hitting the strongest, we feel that there is no one else in the world other than us existing at this moment. This is like we are only alive and everyone else doesn't exist. And my humble opinion is that if we share that with others, then we can actually reduce the suffering. And knowing at that moment that you are not alone, you're not experiencing it even alone, even if you say, hey, next week I'm going to talk about it in the group, is just enough signaling to just say, hey, you know what? I can deal with this and I can push forward. And this is something you mentioned before, that if others did it, right, I can actually push through. And yeah. I think there is a bit of something there. I don't know yet the setup of it or how, and I don't wanna push for it unless it comes flowy. It's also difficult for me because I'm a pusher usually. And I'm like, let's put a plan, let's get 10 people, eight of them will show up and that's enough, and then tack, 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 tack.
Yeah.
But this one I'm proactively working against being pushy, and it will flow when it flows and it comes when it comes, and all I have to do is one duty, which is take care of myself and work on myself. And recently I've been a lot listening to Ram Dass. I don't know if you know him. He's kind of like this, kind of like, it's called a modern philosopher into Buddhism. And also, he's also a Jew. So, and he talks a lot about love. And one thing that I highly admired from him, how much love he has for his guru. And since like nowadays, finding a guru is difficult, I just try to reflect on that love and see if I can love everyone the same way that he loved his guru. It's quite challenging.
Okay. We also, in the previous episode, we spoke about the our words, or the power of the words, right? Exactly. So maybe it's a good way to, or like good moment to reflect on that and say, like, maybe it's not difficult, but it's a process. And then you're already in that process.
Exactly. So I'm trying proactively to love everyone, even the driver of the tram that saw me running and then decided to close the door anyways.
Okay.
And I must say, like, life is a bit tiny, a lot easier that way. Because now I see, like, I don't see people anymore fighting over things. Yeah. I just see them in their own suffering. And then I give them love. And that love alone, at least, I don't know, it feels good to love others.
That's... Yeah, I understand what you mean. I mean, sometimes people confuse this love concept into more like romantic, or like I only love this and that.
Such a poor interpretation.
But it's more like, I think here what you mean is just like understanding where people are coming from, and then just being open to receive further. I will say, how can I say? So, but having a better understanding of people's experiences and not speculating the things that you don't really know about. So exactly. Maybe that tram driver had a huge conflict, lost, I don't know, friend, parent, who knows, or on that day.
Or got a warning from the BVG.
Exactly. And this has actually nothing to do with you, because your ego also tells you there, like, no, I need to fight towards this, right? He was not letting me be in the tram.
Yeah.
Now I need to hate him for that.
Exactly.
But then when you are looking at from a different perspective, as you said, like through the lens of love or appreciation, understanding, you're more compassionate towards the person.
Yes. And I think the moment where I will know that I have reached this goal is the day where going into the tram and hugging everyone is total is totally normal. I would say it's total normal. If you go in and you don't hug everyone, it's bad. Like, they'll kick you out. They're like, you didn't hug 20 people. Are you sure in the right tram?
Yeah, I think that will be the 100% nirvana of it. Do we need to reach that? Maybe in this lifetime, maybe another. But like, let me know when you're hugging 100 people in a tram on that day. The I want to celebrate that with planted. You. Nice. That's sweet. So let's continue with the second questions that we have for this podcast. And that's Flo says, what have you learned about your body in the last weeks? What is there to share with others?
Yeah, so for people who don't know, I started my 200 hours yoga training teacher thingy. Nice. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And it was, so for people who don't know me, I'm really bad at yoga. I'm stiff as fuck. We're not allowed to curse here. Just FYI, I would. Okay.
You're going to beep yourself.
I'm going to beep myself later. Otherwise, I have to put like R-rated on Spotify. So I'm really stiff. My hips are really, really like difficult to deal with. And I'm not really good with like long, heavy exercises. I can run long, but I cannot do like fast running for long. And I struggled with this in the last few years. So now this yoga training is really kind of like pushing me to the limit physically. And I learned that like there's so much energy in my body beyond what I thought I had.
Mm-hmm.
And so the training is basically more yang practices, so very active practices. So mostly vinyasa and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a yin guy, so I like to hold my position for 3 to 8 minutes, depends on the pose. And that's like very difficult. So I'm feeling now changes in my body. I'm feeling mm-hmm. more like my like I feel so much more energized, which is also a bit scaring me because before I used to do like 1 or 2 yin classes a week,
mm-hmm.
and that's enough to kind of like end the week in a I don't want to call it neutral, but in a very balanced way. So I can extend my yang and extend my yin, know when to rest, when not to rest. But now I felt with more yang practices, like I was doing like at least like 15 to 20 to 30, maybe sun salutation in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I split them into multiple sessions because it's exhausting, but still achieving that before half of the day. And I also just, I get so much agitated during the day.
All right.
And I'm unable to ground myself as I used to before.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm getting back again to Zen meditation. So sitting silent meditation. I'm trying to lengthen my yin practices and trying to reduce a bit my yang practices. So I'm not going to do that every day mm-hmm. anymore, but rather than reduce it a bit, maybe every other day and so on. So this is for me an interesting exploration. I'm also reading now the book, I think it's called Eastern Body, Western Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking in depth about chakras. And now I'm still in chakra one. And it mentions this kind of like different calibration, like you can over-energize it or have it balanced or under-energized. And I think with the sun salutations and so on, I'm going over. And I need maybe to either expand my upper chakras more to get more grounding, or I need to chill, take a chill pill.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. I'm exploring that a bit more now. And I will try to find some Kundalini folks I can talk to about this.
Nice.
I have a few in mind. Yeah.
Cool. It's acting also important now, like you share your experience, how actually doing a lot of yang practice maybe overactivates some chakras of you, right? So that also brings me to the point, like when people say that, like, hey, I do yoga, I don't do yoga. And I think a lot of the time when people don't practice yoga, there's only one yoga in their mind. But the truth is there's a bunch of different ways to do yoga. And then it's important to find the one that actually works for you or whatever you need from the energetic perspective as well. My experience with yoga actually similar to yours. I started with power yoga. I was more like, okay, this is fitness. And then I discovered yin yoga. The first yin session I had, I was like, okay, this is actually quite nice. And I even now recommend it to some of my clients. They struggle with like having some kind of mindfulness or meditation practices, because I think this is a soft entry to that world. If they want to do something mindful, it's a good entry, and it's still yoga, and that can actually help quite a lot. But it has a lot of health benefits. Very nice.
And to add to that, like, so a lot of people just stick to one style and mm-hmm. they go with it, and I noticed that also, like, the more rigorous the practice is,
mm-hmm.
like more powerly, physically demanding, there is usually some element of anxiety coming with it. At least for me, I was able to detect it quickly that like mm-hmm. in the evening, I'm getting anxious and agitated. Like I need to do something. I'm missing something.
Okay.
And I highly advise people who are experiencing this, maybe like unsolicited advice. Sorry. At least I'm trying that on myself now. It seems mm-hmm. to work, which is the more yang we do, the more we should do yin too. And yin can be walking meditation, can be listening mm-hmm. meditation, can be yoga nidra, can be eating meditation, just when we're eating, taking 5 minutes to just enjoy the food, just really be mindful in case we see this anxiety rising or being agitated for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just please try anything to calm down in terms of not actively. So don't go for a run. That is literally the worst thing you can do mm-hmm. to your body. Because, yeah, you will be tired, so you're not going to be anxious, but overall you're condensing the anxiety that will hit you hard later on when you least expect it. So that's at least my advice to myself when I listen to this later on. So, and also others if they're sharing the same experience.
Thank you for sharing your experience there. I think it's very important for one to understand their own needs. Yeah, mm-hmm. We previously in the previous session episodes spoke about this consciousness. I think that applies here as well. Really listening to yourself and finding out like, okay, what is happening right now? And before I jump into conclusion or like drop something or do more of something, let's be conscious and find out what is behind and how can you proceed with it.
100%. And playful and curious, right? Mm-hmm. Just play with your body, right? Try a few things. Like, it's still your body and you can always undo whatever you've done. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, there might be some limits there.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't know, if you do yin practice for 3 days and it's not paying off, like, yeah, like, fluff it. Fluff is okay. We can say fluff on the podcast.
Good to know. Yeah. Nice. And what have you learned about life in general recently that you can share with our listeners?
I think we talked about this a bit before, which is like, I heard this thing which says, I think it's the same book also, it says, keep space for magic. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I'm not proactively giving space for magic, but still hoping that magic happens along the way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very stupid.
Like, also, like, hoping and believing are different things, exactly. Right? Because hoping is like some magician will come and drop it to you. But believing is just like really ordering it from the universe. It's a different thing.
Exactly. And I can give like a very important but silly example. I went to the ice cream shop the other day.
Yeah.
So there's a nice ice cream shop nearby. If someone wants to go for an ice cream walk, just leave a comment and 5-star rating first. So I went to the ice cream shop, and usually what I do when I go to a new shop is like I order vanilla and chocolate because these are the basics, and if the shop doesn't do it great,
then buy.
They're not worth it, right? So usually you can detect quickly if it's too sugary and so on. These are like the basics.
Yeah.
So I went there, it was fluffing amazing. So I was okay, I'm gonna go there again.
Okay.
And I went there and I looked at the whole thing and I was like, I'm tired today, I don't want to think, I'm gonna pick chocolate and vanilla. And I was like, you know what? Let's try to be magical today.
Okay.
Let's pick different flavors. And I picked, I think, macadamia chocolate and pistachio.
Yeah.
And then the guy looked at me. He said, wow, these are the best flavors we have. And then he gave it to me. And it was fluffing amazing.
Nice.
And it really felt magical. Like something so simple, so accessible, but still left a lot of warmth in my heart. Mm-hmm. And cold in my belly. Worth it. But it felt so good. And then I was like, okay, like if I give a bit of room and I don't activate my brain off and I just be a bit playful, there is no harm done in that. And yeah, and that was really good.
Nice.
And as simple as it is, giving kind of like more space to
working as a coach, I often meet people that they kind of corner themselves in these boxes. Like, I mean, when you look at them from outside, not to judge anyone, we've been there, we are all there, like we have our times. But it's very common for us to be in that box and literally you cannot breathe because then you need to, I don't know, do some things like pay the rent, I don't know, deal with parents, family situations, lover situations, all these things. And then it's just like piling up. What could be good ways to remind us that there is always some room for magic, or we need to leave such room? What kind of like rituals, habits, whatever comes to your mind that you can share with others?
I would say be silly.
All right.
Like for me, just like I'm by far the oldest guy who goes into that ice cream shop.
Yeah, where is this? I'm curious now.
It's actually not far from here, next to Edeka. We can like do some yoga class soon, and then we can go there.
Nice.
And pick up ice cream. It's a great practice.
Okay. You know,
like, yeah. And then like, just like be silly and not taking myself so seriously, because otherwise, like, how would magic enter me if I'm so serious? Like I cannot be. So imagine that my life is like Bergheim, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And then if someone comes dressed up like a fairy and I'm the bouncer, like there is no way they're gonna get in, right? Because I'm like so serious at the door, I'm like so protective of this. But like imagine more, I'm kind of like, hey, this is like, there's a festival inside. You know, just like, come in, just be more inviting for that kind of experience. And I think that can be kind of like the way, and just taking myself not so seriously and doing silly stuff from time to time can really help a lot.
I love that. And I think it reminds me of something. I often tell people to go back to their childhood, and sometimes people are a bit allergic to this because, like, I don't want to put everything on the childhood. But the truth is, there is a lot of conditioning we had from our childhood, and then we are told, you know, that's so childish, you know, especially if you're coming from the eastern part of, I guess, the world. You, I think, you know, we grew up a bit faster than maybe others.
Express train.
Exactly. It was an express train, and then facing a lot of life situations and different topics to discuss. And then you grow up faster. And then most of these things, then you call them silly, but I see them more like, you know, this joyful, childish activities are so valuable to us. And they're just like so like under the ground. And they're not like, there's no room for that. And what you're telling right now is actually basically accessing, at least this is how I understand it, accessing to that energy of a child, that just like really curious, joyful energy, not caring much about where this would go, and really surrounding in that process, because like it's life. It's something to have fun, it's enjoy.
Yeah. And I can give like maybe another example from my work life, how I can infuse that into that. So with my team, I tell them if you see me wearing sweatpants, then it means I'm in my developer mode.
Okay.
And if I'm wearing not sweatpants, but like jeans or something else, then I'm like, I'm more serious this day.
Okay.
And then, and slowly we start making jokes about it. And now like when they see me in sweatpants, it's like, ah, oh, hey, I want the developer. I'm like, yay.
Okay.
And it's just like less serious, right? And so that's one angle. The other angle is that we have a policy in my team that whoever leaves their laptop unlocked, then we're gonna take a picture and we're gonna change their background, and they cannot change it for 1 month.
Okay.
And many people in the team now have like a team picture of their background in a way that like we take locking your computer very seriously, right? Mm-hmm. And now people like sometimes forget and they come running back from the kitchen to lock it before they do that. But still we do it in a playful way that, hey, it's super serious to never leave your computer unlocked, but still the punishment will be painful. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And being silly with that. So we always take silly selfies, send it to the person via Slack so they see us while we're doing it. And then we put it there. And that kind of like created a nice culture in the team where everyone takes it very seriously to lock your computer, but also very playful. The other day, one person was like, ah, this person forgot their computer. Come, come, come. And then we all came and then we took a picture smiling and so on. And then we added it. And we can still be very serious about what we do in a playful way and set boundaries in a playful way and still take these boundaries very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe an example from the very serious work life that we cannot have much playroom in it, but still with the right mindset we can be playful and still very strict at the same time.
Nice. I believe these things are also like getting better and better when sharing with people. So my only wish is also this inspires some of our listeners to maybe do something more magical today and to try something that you haven't done before. Even this could be something simple, just like giving some compliments to a stranger. You know it all. Like, you just need do whatever made you happy when you were a kid.
I will give a very concrete action point.
If wow, okay. Is go curious, ahead.
Yeah. Which is wear socks which are colorful and of different color one day. And no one has to see them. Just wear long pants. No one has to see it. But within you, you're going to be giggling the whole time. I have like, I know, yellow and green socks or whatnot. And that can be like a really good entry point.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. I have a couple of other questions to wrap our episode. One is like, you started this podcast approximately 2 years ago, right?
I recorded the first session with you 2 years
correct.
ago, published 6 months later.
A lot of milestones that we are having regarding this podcast, which is lovely. So my question is, what kind of advice would you have given to yourself to that robot from 2 years, 2.5 years ago?
that guy was really struggling, man.
Yeah.
Really struggling.
with what? Like the podcast or in general?
No, I think in general, he was like, so like he came way great shot from the 40s, like the peak of it. Oh, that guy really struggled. Even therapy was not helping much. No, I'm kidding. Thanks for all my therapists. Yes, that's a plural, therapists and coaches in plural. I would tell him like, be more playful. That's for sure. Like, if that guy was more playful, probably by now we would have had maybe 200 episodes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy took things less, like, today I take this podcast seriously, but also more easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that guy could do a lot more in that regard, just be a bit more playful and don't hold yourself too strictly, I would say. Mm. Still accountable, but not too strictly to these things. And keep moving. Try a few things. Fail faster. Fail more often. And that guy was optimizing for success. And I think if you optimize for failure, then there's no way except success.
Yeah, exactly. But it could be also some personal traits, some cultural thing. But I also know you, like, you want to know your, like, 100%. Yeah, maybe it's also coming from the developer perspective. But life is not like writing a code. So sometimes it's okay that you're not having 100%. But even, to be honest, I tell this to my clients, like, go with 80%. Better than 0% that you have nothing for months. Yeah? Nice. Very good to hear. So what about the future, Robert? So let's say like 6 months from now on, what advice would you give to him?
Don't stop sharpening the saw.
Okay. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So... you know, the Mother Teresa says, like, hey, if you wanna change the world, go and love your family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then Rumi says something like, I was smart, I want to change the world. Then I became wise, I want to change myself.
Correct, yeah.
And I think inspired by that, recently I was reading somewhere, also maybe the same book or different, I think it's a different one. The book, yeah.
You need to drop the link in the description.
For sure, yeah. I have an affiliate program.
Nice.
I think it says something like, the moment... Ah, yeah, it was Ramdas, actually. He was saying, the moment I want to help others, that's the most dangerous moment. Like, that's the worst thing I can ever do. What I can do is I can help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And by helping myself, I can... because we are one...
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm actually having a bigger impact on the oneness, because I'm able to easily access to myself, easily access myself. And instead of, if I want to change you, then I want to play a role. That's my ego. I want to be the changer. I want to be the helper. I want to be
mm-hmm.
the one who's going to make the change and save you, because you're a victim. You're struggling. You're suffering. And I'm here to elevate it. So I'm your prophet. I'm your savior, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's an ego game, even for people helping. With great intention, but still a ego game. What I can do is I can help only myself. And by helping myself, I'm helping you and also others I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I should be doing. And that's my advice for him. Keep sharpening the saw. Keep helping yourself. Focus on that. Don't be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
When people want things, give them, but they have to want it. They have to really be hungry for it. That's the only way I can help them. And until then, I only help myself. And by helping myself... by loving more, by hugging everyone in the tram,
mm-hmm.
I can make the day better for hopefully more people. But I cannot hug them because I want to make their day better. I can only hug them when I want to make my day better.
Mm-hmm.
And these two things have different intentions, different fallbacks, different even impact on the universe. And that's what I tell that guy. Give love for the sake of love, not to be loved back. And keep sharpening the saw.
That's beautiful. That's a very nice wrap. Thank you very much for sharing it. Now we are approaching the end of this episode. Is there any final remarks that you want to share with our listeners?
So one is that you're a much better host than me.
No.
So I'm going to analyze. I'm going to like go full on analyzing on this later on. First of all, I appreciate having you as a close friend of mine. And I appreciate all of my friends who are listening today. And looking forward to hosting as many of you possible on this podcast to hear more about what you're experiencing and what you want to share with others. And second is, I appreciate everyone spending time listening to this. This is coming from my heart, out of love. And I hope they receive it with love and also can make jokes about it. I like to laugh and I like to see them smiling. So that's pretty much it.
Very nice. Thank you very much. It's been also an interesting experience for me and definitely a fun one. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity to me as well. And maybe to our friends and listeners, one final wish, and share this episode with someone then who you think that can benefit from it. Because I think these kind of things are like the values like multiply when it's shared and it's coming from a close friend. That's a lot more valuable. So I think that's something that we would also appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you, Orkun. And I hope your tea is not too cold now.
It's all good.
I can make hot water again. Don't worry.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for our listeners and have a lovely rest of whatever, whenever you have. Ciao.